Thanks, Paul. Just get everything out of the way. Amen. God is good. Amen. All the time. Thanks, Paul, for that introduction. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure for me. You know what I mean? To come and preach and be part of the preaching team, and to come alongside Noel, who you know, in many avenues is the top preacher in Ireland. You know what I mean? I know we don't like to blow up our own bubbles and all that kind of stuff, but in reality he is, no? So it's great to be able to come alongside that and just build on what foundations he's laying down or has laid down. And it's great to be able to come alongside that, amen. And many he's been blessed through the last few sermons that Noel has about the acrobats and all that kind of stuff. Isn't it amazing how you can get that out of, you know, how you can bring that along to tie it into and let it be relevant in what we have today and what we need today, but also to understand their identity and understand who we are in Christ. And that's kind of what I want to speak on this morning, if I may. If you want to turn with me, we're in Mark 2. You're there with me in Mark 2. And it talks about Jesus healing a paralytic man. And, you know, it's carrying on from Noah's message last week about understanding our identity. But also understanding who gives us the identity. You know, and that's key to it. You know, we all have an identity in God. Every person in this room has an identity in God, whether you know it or not, whether you understand it or not. I remember years ago, before I became a Christian, that I had a theology. And the word theology is the study of God or the understanding of God. And I had a certain theology. And every person has a certain theology. They have a certain understanding of God. And however twisted that may be, it's still an understanding of God. Now, my understanding of God was completely wrong. Like, I mean, you know, you pray to God and you say, like, you know, God, I hope there's money in this house before I break into it or something like that. You know what I mean? That's a theology. That's an understanding of God. That's how you see God, as if he's going to answer that prayer, or as if he's interested in that prayer. But the reality is, he's not interested in that type of prayer, but he's interested in you. And he always has an identity for us. But it's us that stops that. And it's us that blocks that. And it's us that don't realize that. And that's what I want to share on this morning, is about how we understand and how we find our identity in God. And how we understand and how we realize what God means to us. And what God is doing in our lives. And I love this because sometimes it's talking about God doing things in life before we even know about it. Hands up, you can share that testimony about God working in your life before you even know about it, about him doing things in your life before you even realize it. And then one day you wake up and you think you've discovered this, but in reality God has been chipping away at you for years, and he is just bringing the realization around. Hello, I've been here all along. It's just that you just couldn't see me. But I've always seen you. And I love that about my faith, God. I love that about Jesus. I love that he never gives up. Never gives up on us. No matter what our theology is, he never gives up. No matter what kind of crazy prayers you say, he never gives up on us. And he never says, you know what, you've got it completely wrong, now go away. He never says that. He says, I'm here and I love you. And I'm going to bring you around. That's what I believe Mark 2 is about. Are you there with me? So let's read along. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered, and there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging it through, lowered the paralyzed man lowered the mat that the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, now underline this, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And it's amazing if you look at that, the religious blocking room for everybody else. No one could get into the house, but the religious were there, blocking the work of God. It's amazing how they always get in there. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And then he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk'? But that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And it's an amazing, amazing picture of the heart of God towards men. And the title of my message is that it's the key to this, I think, is we've never seen anything like this before. We've never seen anything like this before. And it's beautiful. I mean, you get the picture of the four guys carrying the paralytic man. And you see, if you're into types and you're into looking at shadows, the four men are the church. If you're into looking at things like that, if you're looking at it deep, and it is a reality. The four men carrying this poor, helpless man is the church. They're a type of the church, and they're us. And they're this building, and they're their hearts, and they're the great big giveaway, and they're the great big day out, and they're the home groups, and they're the outreach, and they're the lighthouse, and they're Bray, and they're Clondalkin, and they're Finglas, and they're Noel, and they're Tomo, and they're Rob. You see, the four men are the picture of the church, carrying a man and helping a man who can't help himself, who has no way to get to Jesus. How can he get to Jesus? So look at the physical reality. There was no room. There was no room there for even people who could walk. There was no access to Jesus. The house was full to the brim. Nobody could get in. And this poor, helpless, paralytic man had no hope. He had no chance of getting to Jesus. Unless what? Someone carried him. And it's a beautiful picture of the church. It says, because that's our challenge for everybody here this morning, is that we carry people. We carry those who can't carry themselves. But who did we carry them to? We carried them to Jesus. We carried them to Jesus. And we won't rest until they get to Jesus. And we won't stop until they get to Jesus. Until they hear the message. Until they realize that Jesus can save them and can set them free. And they came against obstacles, didn't they? So can you imagine the picture? Where are you going? We're going in to see Jesus. So how are you going to get in to see Jesus? I can't even get to see him, and I can walk. And it didn't stop, you see, to the point where the ingenuity came in and the anointing, if you like, came upon them and says, "What can we do here? I'll tell you one thing. I want to dig a hole through our roof." You see the way the church works? It just doesn't stop at an obstacle. "I'm going to dig a hole through the roof." Well, that's a mad idea. "I know, but look at this guy. Are you sure about that?" "Well, I'm not sure about that, but look at this guy. He needs to get to him. He has to get to him. There's no hope for this guy. But how are we going to get into him? I don't know, but here, I have a plan. I'm going to dig a hole through the roof. Are you with me? Are you on board with this? We're going to start a church up in Finglas." Are you with me? "Oh, short open fingers. Some man gaff up there, you're joking. Well, how are we going to get the people to Jesus? We're going to start a church up in Clondalkin, in the middle of a housing estate, Clondalkin. What? Yeah. We're going to dig a hole through a roof. That's what we're going to do. Because they need to get to Jesus. They need to get in. They need Jesus to get to them. But you see, the house is full. And a type of the church is to form in. Working out their faith. Doing what they can. And guys, this is a challenge early doors in this message. Is, are we doing what we can? Are we doing epic? Have we got that ingenuity? Are we getting them ideas into our head? Are we doing what we can to help these people get to Jesus? Because that's the challenge for all of us. It's doing what we can. It's if it's coming alongside and helping to carry another man, at least we're doing something. And I believe firmly, and I believe wholeheartedly on this, and it's a challenge for my own life, that as Christians, we must be doing something. I will say that with fear and trembling, because I know people might come back at me at that. But I really and truly, firmly believe that as Christians, we must be doing something. Whether it's giving of your wealth, whether it's giving of your time, whether it's giving of your gifts, whether it's giving of your just being present, whether it's a phone call, whether it's encouraging people, whether it's coming alongside pastor and saying, listen, Noel, what can I do? It's whatever. What can I do? Am I doing something? Am I helping in some way? And I believe that's the drive force for a Christian going forward, is that he can quantify that. He can measure that. And he can say, you know what, I'm doing this, Lord. And I'm doing as much as I can, Lord. And I believe that it will enrich your life. And people might say, no, it'll complicate my life. But I don't believe that. I believe it will enrich your life. Because you're starting to now flow out of the calling and the commission that Jesus has given us to carry people, to bring them to Him, if you like, to be part of the church, to be part of the ingenuity of the church, the inventiveness of the church. What are we doing? Well, you know what we're doing? We're going to bring this man down to the roof. That's ingenuity and inventiveness. And I love that about our walk with the Lord. Is that okay? Because that's the challenge out front. So let's look at verse 5. And it talks about the healing of the man. And guys, if you can understand how Jesus works in our lives, you need to understand the condition that we're in. And we need to understand our position before God. And before Jesus even looked at the condition of the man, in the sense that he was lying on a mat paralyzed, he looked into the man. He looked into the man and he thanked the people for their faith. Didn't he? He recognized their faith, but then he looked at the man. And you have to understand this, guys, and we have to understand the condition of the human heart. The first thing he done before he healed the man was he said, your sins are forgiven. He dealt with the sin issue before he dealt with the body issue. And that's our position before we come to the Lord and as we bring people to the Lord. That sin is the problem. Sin is the issue between us and God. And Jesus recognized it straight away. And sin, if you look at sin and if you understand what sin does to the human nature, it paralyzes us. It has a paralyzing effect. And when sin is dominating us, and when sin has its victory over us, we stop. We stop producing. We stop bearing fruit. We stop contributing. And it just turns into us and what I can get. See, sin is a very selfish thing. But there's nothing new in this. When you see a paralyzed man and when you see that Jesus and the Gospels have turned this into a sin issue, that the man was paralyzed. And it was an absolute picture of what sin does to our lives. To the point where we're helpless. And it takes other men to help us. Because that's what sin does. It paralyzes a human being. It stops them in their track. And even if you look at what's being paralyzed is frozen. It's been stuck in a moment. It's unable to help yourself. Unable to produce anything that can help others. And so the man was found paralyzed. And sin is the problem. Jesus looked at it and he said, you know what, son? He says, son, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And that's the first thing that Jesus does in our lives. When we come in contact with Jesus, the first thing he does, guys, is he makes you aware of your condition and then gives you a way out. He says, it's your sin that's the problem. So your sins are forgiven. I forgive you your sins. I set you free from your sin. Sin is no longer an issue between me and you. Because why? I forgive you. And once we realize that, and once that comes part of your life and our lives, now I'm hoping that you don't see this as a momentary thing. I'm hoping that you don't see this as a thing of, I remember years ago when Jesus forgave my sins. I'm hoping that it's a thing of, this has been part of my life that I'm forgiven. That this is my daily walk with God, that I'm forgiven. You see, because it has to be, I'm forgiven of my past sins, of my present sins, and of my future sins. I live and have my being in a forgiven place. I am forgiven. And you see, that turns the whole human being around. Because I no longer, me and God, there's no longer a blockage between me and God. I am forgiven. I am not, it's not a linear forgiven. Well, I'm forgiven for a few minutes until something happens. Else happens. I don't live it. I'm forgiven for everything. In my past, in my present, and in my future. I live as a forgiven person. I don't have, or have not to have, a sin consciousness. I live in a forgiven consciousness. Because that sets the human spirit free. But if you constantly believe that you're not forgiven, well then it paralyzes you. If you constantly believe that, but all that kind of stuff, how can you forgive that? Well, you know, I was forgiven years ago, but I made a mistake and I've done this and done that and I'm not forgiven anymore. That's the way we live, in a moment-to-moment forgiveness. We live in a linear forgiveness where, well, I'm hoping I'm forgiven, but, you know, if I make another mistake, then I have to go back and get born again. I have to get back saved again. I have to ask God to forgive me all over again. And yes, there is a position where we have to confess our sins, but that's about counseling. And that's about dealing with sin. That's about stopping doing a certain thing. And we confess with each other. And we confess to God and we realize and we recognize there's things in our lives that aren't working. So I need to stop them. That's what that's talking about in John 1. But the reality is, I am forgiven. I am set free. I am no longer a slave to sin. I'm a slave to righteousness. Because Christ lives in me. And that's what Jesus done to this man. Some people say, it was a great blessing that he got his sins forgiven. You have to understand the deeper element to it, that he set man free in his spirit. Completely set him free. And I'm hoping that that's what gets across there, because part of this man's healing was that his sins were forgiven. This was, I believe, the biggest part of it. Some people think the greatest miracle was he got up and walked. No, the greatest miracle was that there was a man there called Jesus, the Son of God, who forgave him all his sins. That's the greatest miracle. Because life is only momentary, but my spirit is eternal. And that has to be dealt with. I don't care that this body doesn't get healed. I want my spirit to be healed, my soul to be saved. Jesus came to save me, not this body. this is going back, how great and all it is and all that kind of stuff. How beautiful and how marvelous and how of a picture it is. It's going back into the dust. It's not going to be with him. He came to die for my spirit. That's going to be with him. And I will be given a new body, praise God. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's not about the healing, really. But it's about the spirit. Son, your sins are forgiven. Whoa. Whoa. Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. That's amazing. That's brilliant. That's greater than anything. And again, then there was opposition, wasn't there? And the religious were in there taking up all the room. And they said, only God can forgive sins. This is blasphemy. He's blaspheming. And the reality is that only God can forgive sins. That is the reality. We're telling the truth. That only God can forgive sins. No man can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. He is the only one that has the authority because the offense is against him. I can't forgive someone if someone done something, if Sharon done something on Paul, I can't forgive Sharon for Paul. Can I? Paul has to forgive Sharon. I can't say to Sharon and Paul, oh, it's okay, I forgive you, Sharon. Well, Paul's going, hold on for a minute. Well, you're forgiving people for me? Only God can forgive sins because he's the only one offended. And so they took a joy about him and said, only God can forgive sins. And they were dead right. Can you imagine if you're at a, if you're going to a counselor, right? And this counselor was the best counselor ever. And he went into the counselor's office. And, you know, how you doing? How's things? And you were talking for a good hour with the counselor about all your sin, you know, all the things you've done wrong. Like an account. He said, well, I've done that when I was a kid, and I've done that, and I've done that, and I've done this, and I've done that. And all the very bad things. And you graded them all now, graded all your sin. And this is a really bad one now. This is a really bad one. And you kind of named all the sins that you could remember, and no one can remember them all. But you named them all that you could remember and all the really bad things you've done. The really, really, just don't want anyone to know about, the secret things. And you said all the bad things. And the counselor said to you, okay, you hear that, and you know what? He says as a human, you're forgiven. And then you kind of scratch your head and goes, you walk out of the office and go, he's had to forgive me, I'm forgiven. And I guarantee you, within an hour, you won't feel forgiven. Because who is he to forgive me? Man can't forgive us sin. Because there's no power behind it. A man can't forgive you your sins. No matter if they say, yeah, 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 1,000 times, you won't feel forgiven. And you won't believe it. And that's what he said to Jesus. Only God can forgive sins. And then Jesus turned around and he says to them, he says, you're right, only God can forgive sins. But he says, let me prove it to you. That I have authority here on earth to forgive sins. And this is key to the sermon if you get this. This is key, guys. If you get this part of it. Because in Jewish culture, and this is a transcending word. This is for you guys if you grab hold of it. Or us if we grab hold of it. He said, to prove it. And you have to, if you're a study of the word, you have to understand Jewish culture. In Jewish culture, sickness was tied in with sin. And everything was blamed on the sins of the father to the first, fourth, and fifth generation. And so if that paralytic was to go to any religious leader, they would have said there's sin in his life, or sin in his past, or it's because of his father's sin, or because of his mother's sin. And they blamed sin on everything. And Jesus knew that, because that's what he was saying here. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus turned around and said to them, he said, to prove to you that I have authority to forgive sins. He says, what is easier? To forgive sins or for this man to get up and walk? And he was proving it to them. Because the only way that that man can get up and walk is if he was forgiven. if you know Jewish culture. Because he would have to go back to the temple before he was healed or anything like that. He'd have to get cleansing. He wouldn't have been allowed into the temple because of his sin and his condition. He would have to have a sacrifice. He would have had to have blood spilled for him before they'd even try and heal him. He would have to have his blood sprinkled on the courts. He would have had all that ceremony before a leader would even attempt to pray for him. Are you with me? Do you hear that? So Jesus says, so to prove it to you that I have authority here on earth to forgive sins. He says, what is it easier to give this man to get up and walk or to say he's forgiven? And he said, watch. And he said, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and walk. And the man immediately got up and took his mat and walked out of the room. Jesus had the authority to forgive sins. How do we know that? Because he healed the man. And our healing comes from the point of view of when our sin is forgiven. And when we understand that our sin is forgiven, well, then the healing starts to take place in our lives. We start to move now and have our being in a place of being forgiven, of being set free. We have now our being in a place of being a son of the house, not a slave of the house. We start to move now in a place where me and God have no blockage. That me and God are reconciled with each other. That I have always access to God. He has healed me of my sin condition. Now he's healing me in my body. He's healing me in my heart. He's healing me in my mind. But I must get the sin stuff dealt with. I must realize and give my life to the Lord and let him forgive me of my sin. I must start off with the condition first, which caused the paralyzing, to be free and to get up and walk out. Isn't that an amazing truth? And anybody that doesn't know the Lord, and anybody that has never heard the gospel before in their lives, and anybody that kind of is struggling to understand this kind of stuff, well then, when we approach Jesus, or if you go to Jesus and you're asking him to come and forgive you and cleanse you of all the iniquity and sin in your life, and then realize that you are forgiven. In my own personal story, when I kind of was in recovery, and this was a big struggle for me. I don't know how many men told me this. I said, Eddie, you're forgiven. I couldn't believe them. Just couldn't believe them. Because I'd done so many wrong things. I always had this thing in my head, I had to pay back. I have to pay back. I owe so much. And I always had a kind of a penance going on in my heart about how am I going to pay back. And I remember one guy said to me, a counselor said one day, he said, Eddie, it's like a free gift. He says, it's like if I handed you a Christmas present. He said, would you throw it back at me? He says, no, I wouldn't. He says, what would you do? I said, open it. And I'd receive it. And why would you do that? I said, out of respect for you. And I said, that's exactly what Jesus has done. He's given you a gift. He's forgiven you of everything. And then I went back at him and said, but I'm guilty. And he says, yeah. And Jesus took that guilt on the cross. He says, yeah, but what about all the things I've done? How do I pay that back? He said, Jesus took it all. He paid it back. And it took me a while because I was paralyzed on a mat. I couldn't move forward until I got this. I could not move a step forward until I realized I was forgiven. And it takes faith to understand that. And it takes a belief to understand that. But I tell you, when I started to move on that, my Christianity came alive. Because I was saved. Before that, I wasn't saved. I was trying to save myself and fix my own problems. But the reality was, I was paralytic on a mat that couldn't move. That couldn't move forward in his life until Jesus came and set me free. But I had to believe it, guys. I had to believe that I was forgiven. And once we start to believe that, really and truly believe, and that's my challenge here this morning, If that penny drops in our hearts that I am forgiven for everything, yes, for everything, well then I will start to move in confidence in God. I will start to have my prayer life will change. My community life will change. The way I see myself will change. The way I appreciate myself and others will change. The way I see life. The way I see my family. The way I see pastor and the church. The way I see everything will change because I know I'm free. But if you still live in that mentality, well, I think I am, maybe, or could be, possibly. But then you're still on the mat. And you can't move. And sometimes you just have to say, yeah, okay, I am guilty. I am this, I've done all that, but I am forgiven. Well, because he forgave me. And I'm not arguing with him anymore. I'm just going to receive it. I'm just going to accept it. You see, this is the message that turned the whole world upside down. He is my way out. Nobody else. And it's a beautiful picture because I'll finish with this. It says, this is a wonderful thing. It says the man stood up, picked up his mat, and walked out in front of them all in his new identity, in his new realization, in who he was as a human being, with his dignity back, with his self-respect back, with his identity back, with who he was as a person back. And no one was carrying him anymore. He walked out in front of them all. And guys, that's what Jesus offers us. But the first thing is, you have to know you're forgiven. A lot of people scared over that, and they think the biggest miracle is the fact that the man walked out. The biggest miracle was he was forgiven. And that's where all the contention was in Mark 2. How can you forgive? And the whole message of Mark 2 is about a man being forgiven. The reason why he got up and walked, guys, is because he was forgiven. That's the reason why he got up and walked. It was connected. His healing was connected to his sin condition. And he realized he was forgiven and got up and walked out. Why? Because he was forgiven. And the message, the title of the message is, we've never seen this before. And the reality was that people of those times had never seen anything like this before. If you study the Gospels, if you study the Old Testament, Elijah, Ezekiel, all these people, Isaiah, Moses, nothing like this had ever happened. The whole man being healed. That's what you were talking about there. We've never seen anything like this before. Forgiven and healed. Without the temple. Without the temple. If you study Leviticus laws, all those Monday night people will know what I'm talking about. Without the temple. This man has just got up and walked out without the sacrifice, without the blood, without any of this. And Jesus bringing in a new thing that I have the authority to heal a man completely. Of his sin and in his body. I can't do something that no one else can do, which is to set a man free from his sin. Completely set free. And the worship team want to come back. Guys, I want that to be in this room at this moment in time. If you've never heard the gospel before and you want to start understanding this a bit more, or you feel like you want to go deeper into this, we'll come up to the front and we'll talk to you. If the prayer team want to come up, if Trish and Pauline and Jay and that, and Dale want to come up, and we'll pray. But I also want people to realize and come up to the front, if they're struggling with the fact, am I forgiven? If they're really struggling with that faith issue, can God forgive me? Or is it up to me to pay penance? Or am I forgiven? Can I be forgiven past, present, and future? Can I be set free from all the guilt and all the shame? Yes, you can. But you see, the sad thing is, some people can't get there. I know I couldn't. And it takes a lot of faith to say, everything, yes, everything. Are you sure? Yes, everything. And what I'm about to do tomorrow, because it's covered in the blood. So that sets me free. Not free to go and commit sin. It sets you free to be away from sin and not a slave to sin. Isn't that an amazing thing? Let's stand. So if you're struggling with that, if you want any other prayer issues, come to me and come to the prayer team. Mark 2 is about being healed, but also it's about being forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven. Say that with me. Son, say it again. And again. And Father, I pray, Lord, that that would be a absolute core belief in this house. That we would know we're forgiven. That we would know that you have set us free. That you have cleansed us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are cleansed of all our iniquity. Our blood is washed as white as snow. Blessed is the man, the psalmist said, whose sins are forgiven. But it says, blessed is the man who knows that his sins are forgiven. It's not just a part of me talking about it. It says, blessed is the man who knows his sins, plural. Past, present, and future. Sins, plural, is forgiven. Blessed is this man. So we want to get it from head knowledge to heart knowledge. As Noel talked about it last week, knowledge, the knowing, the understanding. I am free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise of Jesus. Come on up for prayer.